Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse here on WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond. I'm John Pierce, your host. On working the board for us this evening is Neil Heaver, our Director of Operations. Our topic this evening is watershed. And I have two guests here who know a whole lot about that because they're very active in this area. Aaron Frederick is the Master Watershed Steward Coordinator for Lehigh and Northampton Counties at Penn State Extension. And Rebecca Kennedy is Project Specialist for Northeastern Pennsylvania for Penn Vest and President of the Watershed Coalition of the Lehigh Valley. Before we get into this whole area of what is a watershed in the first place, let's tell you a little bit about Rebecca and Aaron. Rebecca has been working in water resource science at the community level for many, many years. Rebecca, what brought you into this area in the first place? What sparked your interest?
So this is a long time ago in a land far away. In my mid-teens, which were the late 70s and 80s in New York City, I got involved in environmental conservation, environmental advocacy. I went on to earn an undergraduate degree and graduate degree in water resources, and so I've worked in this field ever since. I kind of started out looking more at the academic and research side of things, but it became really clear to me, and has become only clearer since, that community-level engagement, on-the-ground projects, really working close to the problem is the best way to make a difference.
And what's the institution? Was it in New York City where you did your studies?
I graduated from Columbia University with my undergraduate degree, but I grew up in New York City. So, and, you know, people don't think of New York City as an outdoor place.
That's right.
But it's really the site of one of the major national Clean Water Act miracles, because the Hudson River, when I was a little girl growing up, was in such a condition that if you were standing by the river and got splashed, your parents would take you home and scrub you. It was a toxic waste dump. And not that many years ago, I was out kayaking on it, and there's people fishing in it and doing long-distance open water swims. So that's really, you know, the New York City is the site of really one of the great triumphs of environmental
That's really interesting. I didn't know that about the Hudson River. And what a great turnaround.
Yes. It's really kind of nothing short of miraculous.
Yeah, so. Talking about things going in the right direction, right? When sometimes we feel out there in society we're not going in the right direction. My other guest this evening is Aaron Frederick, who is a horticulture and natural resources educator, statewide master watershed steward coordinator. Aaron, can you repeat that title without looking? I'm not. Tell my listeners, I'm not showing her the paper that I just read. You are statewide
Master Watershed Steward Coordinator.
Oh, she's good. And she's Interim Area Master Gardener Coordinator for Lehigh and Northampton, Bucks, Montgomery, Chester, Delaware, and Philadelphia. Lehigh and Northampton County Master Gardener Coordinator for Lehigh. Did I just say that? That's a repeat. So anyway, Aaron, you also are interested in the great outdoors. And what sparked your interest at the beginning? Can you remember?
I think ever since elementary school, I wanted a career in environmental resources. I just loved being outside, and my father did environmental work. So I went to Penn State University, got my degree in environmental resource management, and then my first job locally was working with Rebecca.
All right.
So we've been working in conservation for the past 10 years together, working on local and now statewide environmental issues.
I think it's actually pushing 15 years. I hate to say that, but
time passes quickly when you're having fun. Now, you mentioned your father. What kind of work did he do in this area?
He's a carpenter, but he did some environmental volunteer work. So at a very early age, you know, I was making posters about recycling and saving the whales. So it was definitely ingrained in me being environmentally
conscious. Yeah, that's really interesting. The other part about that is not that it didn't come from your father's profession, but it came from the fact that he was volunteering. So even though you didn't realize as a child, you were getting the background already to say, hey, when I'm an adult, I could volunteer and do things that are different from my job that pays me money.
That's true.
So good for your father. Well, I have a very basic question to ask both of you, and that is, what is Penn State Extension? We hear that term once in a while. Maybe folks out there are really not sure what that is. Erin?
So Penn State Extension is a community organization. We have an office in every county in the Commonwealth. And initially, it was created over 100 years ago now, to relay research-based information to the public. Because initially, when Extension was established, there were land-grant institutions, so Penn State, Rutgers, Cornell, and only the people going to those institutions actually benefited from the research that was being conducted. So they established Extension to be the arm of those institutions to get that research out to the public to improve lives. And Extension focuses on a variety of issues. So we work with farmers, you know, various sustainable agriculture practices. We have the Master Gardener program where we answer homeowner questions about home garden issues. We teach people about native plants, invasive plants. We have family and consumer science educators. We have the 4-H program. So we are really just an educational institution for the public.
Interesting. So that's an outreach from these universities into the public. And all of those that you mentioned, Penn State, Rutgers,
Cornell, all these land-grant universities.
Land-grant universities, right.
So there's one in every state in the nation, land-grant.
Does that mean automatically that in every state we have an extension program?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
That's correct.
So that's what Penn State Extension is all about. It's really about teaching the public that the public doesn't have to be enrolled as a student at whatever the institution is to learn.
Correct. So. And there's also so many sources of information out there, you know, YouTube videos on gardening or whatnot. We are like a trusted source of information. So we have fact sheets and it's all science-based information on all these topics that I had previously mentioned.
Do you happen to have any alternate fact sheets?
No.
Right. Just thought I'd ask in today's environment.
Excellent question.
Thank you. Now, you have a program that's called the Master Watershed Steward Program. And would you explain a little bit what that's about? And why would the public be interested in such a thing?
So the program provides 40 hours of training in water resources, environmental resource topics. And that training serves as the main way for people to begin to feel confident and really learn more about the environment. So generally we have people that have always had an interest in the environment but didn't know how to plug in and get engaged. So we give them that training that they need. And then in return for the training, they give us volunteer time. So we plug them into various projects throughout the community. We work with a variety of partners, such as the Wildlands Conservancy, the Nurture Nature Center, and they all have needs for volunteers to help them with outreach. And we certainly have a lot of outreach we need to do to the public in general about water resource issues. So all these volunteers can plug in into projects that interest them and what they have time to do. So it's a very flexible program, and it's really just a way to get people more engaged in environmental conservation locally and have fun while doing it.
So there's kind of two separate questions here, which is, you know, the need for the program in the community in the Lehigh Valley, and then what's in it for the people who go through the program. And those are kind of similar and related questions. The background for what it does for the community has to do with the need for water resource conservation at a local community, neighborhood, individual property level. There is only so much that regulators can do. So my miracle of the Clean Water Act is one of those. When pollution that is impacting the environment seriously originates from green goo coming out of factories or untreated sewage, that's the type of problem that can be dealt with by regulators. But most of the pollution that's affecting Pennsylvania's waters is pollution that is much smaller scale and much more local. Things like road runoff, fertilizers, pesticides, erosion, things that are much smaller scale, and we need individual people to address that. So that's the need that this program was created to address. And at the same time, as Aaron just mentioned, there are all of these people who have had a real interest in conservation and water resources their whole lives, but they just lack kind of the basic background and framework of knowledge to make them feel, as Aaron said, confident in engaging in that level. They're interested in it, but they just don't know enough to feel that it's appropriate for them to step up. And this program was designed to take people who have that interest and kind of transform them into people who feel that they have enough knowledge to engage.
And does this mean that a person who wants to learn more is, with your organization, with Penn State Extension, is signing up for the 40-hour class series? And tell us a little bit how that works. Does a person go someplace weekly, or is it sporadic? How long does it last, in weeks, and so on?
So it's about a 12-week-long course. This coming year, we'll be meeting every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. And then we have a few Saturday field trips in between. And we try to rotate the location of the sessions because we want to expose all the volunteers, the different community organizations that we work with. So we'll have a session at the Wildlands Conservancy, Lehigh Gap Nature Center. We try to hit all the major environmental organizations in the Lehigh Valley.
Right. And so a person who signs up for this would be going every Wednesday evening and sometimes on Saturdays, and it's a total of 40 hours at the end. Would that take a couple of months to do?
Mm-hmm. So we start in mid-March, and then we will end at the end of May.
Mm-hmm. March, April, May. Okay, that gives folks out there who might be interested an idea. So anyone who would be interested in gardening, farming, other areas that you would say would be good candidates for this kind of a program?
Well, there's a whole separate volunteer program for people whose primary interest is gardening, which is the Master Gardener Program. And if you kind of circle back to all those titles that you are reading for Erin, she also coordinates the Master Gardener Program here in the Valley and oversees it for this area of Pennsylvania. So that's a separate program. I think you're training right now in that program, right? So that training for this year's Master Gardener Program started in the fall and runs
till now. This is the last day,
this
actually.
This is the last. And then you'll train that class again
in 2 years.
In 2 years. So that program is focused on folks whose interest is primarily home gardening or vegetable-type gardening on that scale. The Master Watershed Steward Program focuses on people whose interest is in water resource conservation. There is, of course, overlap because we use plants to help improve water quality. We do stream bank tree plantings and rain gardens that use plants to help filter pollution. So there's definitely overlap. Our Master Watershed Stewards do plants. And Aaron's Master Gardeners also do treat some water quality problems. So we have folks that are trained in both.
I'll bet Aaron knows one of our colleagues here at WDIY, Tom Ritter.
Yes, yeah.
He is a Master Gardener. I think he's finished his course.
This was his last class this morning. He took his test.
Oh, hooray. All right. Can you tell us on the air if he passed?
He did.
Yeah. That's good news for Tom. Tom Ritter, a shout out to you. Because he was so excited about that and had to cut back on some of his hours at WDIY because of taking the course in Master Gardening. But it's something that he's really interested in. He's always been interested in his own garden, and I think that's what led him to your program, and he's very proud now to be a master gardener. Now, to get off our subject of the watershed just for a minute, because we're talking about another program called Master Gardeners, what will he do in the future as a master gardener?
Well, a lot of it is up to him based on what his interests are. So if there's a certain topic that he's passionate about, maybe composting, he could develop a program on that and go out and give it to different community groups, libraries.
Schools?
Schools, certainly. There's so many different opportunities with each of these volunteer programs. So Master Gardeners do the Mr. Yuck programming in schools, so that's something they can get involved in. We have a variety of educational displays that they can take out to farmers markets. I know the biggest topic right now is the spotted lanternfly, so we have volunteers taking that display out to different events just to get the word out to people.
Now, you flew right past Mr. Yuck, assuming that I know what you're talking about. What's that?
It's the poison prevention. I know I had it in school. I just assumed he's been around for
a while.
Again,
you're so young.
It's the guy with the green sticker face.
And the tongue sticking
out? Yeah, yeah. And we teach kids, you know, not to drink any unmarked liquid. You know, make sure you have your parents put this Mr. Yuck sticker on so your little brother or sister doesn't try to drink anything. You know, it's a lot about protecting children and families from poisonous chemicals in the home.
Harming themselves, right.
Yeah, so that's something our volunteers can get involved in. We have a lot of demonstration gardens. Vegetable gardens, we're doing a grafted vegetable garden, native plant garden. So it's just so many different opportunities. People develop their own niche. And that's the same with the Watershed Steward Program.
And I'm actually going through the Master Gardener Program right now, not here, because I actually live in Bucks County. And what I'm planning to do is develop a series of programs and materials on lawn conversion. I have kind of a personal war against lawns. I don't see any need for people to have 2-3 acres of pristine lawn.
You want a huge parking lot instead of a lawn.
Well, not really. That's another thing that people can do as Master Gardeners and Master Watershed Stewards as well, is develop education and outreach programming on an area that interests them. So.
And as a person would begin to take these classes, and let's call it either a Master Gardener or a Master Watershed, the person is beginning to think about already and being encouraged by the instructors to say, what do you think your niche will be and what interests you the most when you finish this course?
Yeah,
did
absolutely.
I get that right?
Yeah, okay. Because in some cases, they're learning information much more in-depth than they have before. So they're able to really figure out what their interest is.
Right. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm John Pierce, your host. I'm glad to be here this evening with you, and I'm certainly glad that you're listening. Neil Heaver is doing our engineering for us. And my two guests, Aaron Frederick and Rebecca Kennedy, will be back with me after we take this short break.
In 2018, WDIY is celebrating 23 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Brittany, and Galicia, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar, every Thursday from 7 to 9, here on WDIY.
So our topic this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse is the watershed program that is being promoted by Penn State Extension. Now, in the first segment with my two guests, Aaron Frederick, who is Master Watershed Steward Coordinator, and Rebecca Kennedy, who is a volunteer and president of the Watershed Coalition of the Lehigh Valley. So we have a paid staff from Penn State, that's Aaron, and a volunteer with the Penn State program, and that is Rebecca. Rebecca, I asked you off the air, is there a difference between conservation, which you have mentioned a couple of times in our first segment, and preservation?
I think in a way you can be talking semantics. When we use preservation in the conservation world, we're generally not talking about natural resources. We're talking about things like real estate, land preservation, or historic preservation. Preservation doesn't particularly often apply directly to a natural or environmental resource. It can if there's something of really exceptional value that just needs to be kept the way it is. Conservation is more of an umbrella term that really refers to best practices, doing what you can to maintain full functionality of an ecosystem resource, an environmental resource, a water resource. There's also restoration is another word that gets thrown in there. Although frequently that word can cause a lot of confusion because people will be thinking of restoring a natural resource to some previous antecedent condition. And generally what they're thinking of is from their childhood. So
yes.
Then that ends up really depending upon the age of the person who's talking about it, because their concept of restoring, let's say, the Saucon Creek would be to the Saucon Creek of their mind that they played in when they were five. And so that condition is very different when the speaker is 85 than if they're 65 or 45 or 25. So that can be a little bit of a murky area and can cause a lot of confusion when people start talking in public settings because they think the concept is the same, but the pictures in their heads are very, very different.
All right. So because the two terms, preservation and conservation, seem to mean we're not going to develop this thing. We're not going to change it. We're trying to keep it the way it has been. Is that fair to say?
I think that is how the concept is generally understood. But the situation in Pennsylvania, and in fact throughout almost all of North America, is much more complicated and nuanced. Pennsylvania was almost entirely wooded 600 years ago.
Penn's Woods.
Right. And subsequently, it has been entirely logged several times, aggressively farmed, with no management practices. Almost none of the streams that you see pretty much anywhere in the northeastern United States are actually where they used to be 600 years ago. They were moved and rechannelized by farmers and others. So when you're talking about conservation, restoration, preservation, it's not realistic to talk about the way things were 600 years ago. So really, this is kind of a secret of environmental resource professionals. What you're talking about in reality in all those situations is really some form of environmental engineering. You're going to try to do the very best you can to maximize the functionality of a particular natural resource given the current conditions that exist. And that's really a form of environmental engineering. We are not going to reproduce the Penn's Woods of 600 years ago, unfortunately. Yeah. I think it would be fun to see.
Yes. Say that again, the engineering, doing the best that you can. What was your phrase?
I don't know, but do it to maximize, to optimize the functionality of whatever natural resource you're focusing on. So let's take, for example, the Lehigh River. The Lehigh River is historically one abused water body, filled with acid mine drainage, used to transport large amounts of timber. It was polluted to the point where it was toxic, I would say a generation ago, but I guess that depends upon what you're calling a generation, but 50
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
It's not now. So, but we're not, those of us who are working on the Lehigh River's conservation are not thinking about restoring it to what it looked like, you know, before white settlers came to this area. What we're really looking at is what's the best that we can do for the Lehigh River, given the fact that the entire watershed of the Lehigh River is now filled with cities and towns and roads and has farms and, you know, so that's the sort of perspective that we take. And it's relevant for this Master Watershed Steward Program because we are not working to train fiery environmental advocates. What we're working in the Master Watershed Steward Program to do is inform citizens so that they can engage realistically in conservation. There's certainly a place for people who are, you know, really mad and want to protest something, and certainly folks who feel that way benefit from, you know, background knowledge. But this program is really focused on informing people so that they can engage in conservation constructively.
So taking the opposite view of what you just said, somebody who is really fired up and wants to go out there and march and carry placards and whatever it might take to make a statement, you might have people on exactly the opposite end who are rather shy, who don't want to do that and make a spectacle. Could they take this course to be watershed master and wind up not doing anything with it in the end except for their own knowledge?
Well, generally, we want people that want to learn more, but we also want them to stay engaged with our program. So in order to become an official Master Watershed Steward, you have to give 50 hours of volunteer service your first year. Then you get your badge, you are officially in the program, and then to remain in the program each year after that, you have to give a minimum of 20 hours a year. And most of our folks go way beyond that. And then we also do require that they continue to learn. So we like to see 10 hours of continuing education. And I package all of that information, training opportunities and volunteer opportunities, in a monthly newsletter and email communication so they can pick and choose what they want to do.
So this is a very serious program. This is not just I want to dabble for 40 hours and see what happens in the end. This is serious.
To answer your question, in each class we have had, for a variety of circumstances, some folks who finished the classes and were not able to carry on and volunteer. One young woman took a job in China, so that's kind of outside of our service area. So in those types of circumstances, there will be some people who, you know, just by happenstance will go through the program and will go away with the knowledge. But that is not why the program was created. The program was created, as Aaron has explained, to provide ongoing volunteer community resources and engagement.
Well, and it's an encouragement for people to keep on learning as they go through the 40-hour course. In the first year, they have to put in 50 hours in some sort of a... Now, give us an example of what a person might do with those 50 hours.
Well, we have one volunteer that's going to be doing a water quality monitoring program in schools. We have some folks that like to set up displays on native plants at various events. We have a variety of our folks working with community watershed associations. They've gotten more involved in their own home watershed, doing outreach. We do rain barrel workshops. We do rain garden workshops. Really anything we can do to educate the public and also assist our partners with stream restoration projects. So we have different opportunities for people that like to teach, others that like to get their hands dirty. And again, they can pick and choose what they want to do.
And to contradict a little bit what you said, the program is serious in its intent, but these are people, and we want our volunteers to have fun. And so mostly people will pick what's fun for them. And a lot of times in our classes, that'll have to do with other people they've connected with in the class or from previous classes. So we will quite often end up with small groups of people who enjoy working with each other and take on projects because it's fun for them to be spending time together, you know, outside of their normal work lives or whatever it is they're doing. And so most people really will choose what they like. actually not because it's so serious, but because that's what they enjoy and it's fun. And we do a lot of things in this program to make it fun for people. We do potluck dinners. So folks who go through the program will arrive, and a lot of people are coming straight from work. So we've actually had a lot of fun, Aaron and I and the other program organizers, with the potluck dinners, because people tend to try to outdo one another. We've had some pretty spectacular meals. You should stop in.
Delicious.
Stop
yes.
In. Later on, as the training progresses, the meals, you know, get more complex and fun.
Right. So now I'm so glad you mentioned the word fun, because to me that's really important. There was a very wise man at my church years ago who said, get this one, committee work should be fun. Well, how about that? A lot of times we compartmentalize and we say, if we're going to a rock concert or we're playing a softball game, those kinds of things are fun. But if you're in a committee meeting, how could that be fun? But if you're doing a project like what you're talking about, you're really interested in watershed program that you're putting on at Penn State Extension and so on, it should be fun, just as you have just said, Rebecca. That's a great statement. So the master watershed steward, then, you call them when they graduate from the, you call it graduation from the program, from the 40 hours, they are then stewards?
Once they do their 50 hours of volunteer work.
All right.
So they're still trainees as they go through the program and as they're working on their first 50 hours. But once they hit that 50, they get their badge.
Does that happen at different times during that first year? You said 50 hours minimum for the first year. Someone could do that in 2 months, and someone else might take 10 months.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it varies. As soon as they get it, I give them their badge. We used to just hold off until everybody got it, but people were very eager, so we give them their badge as soon as they hit 50.
Yeah, for them to be eager. And do you have a ceremony attached with that? Do you have a gathering of people to award the certificate, the badge?
Not for that, because generally it's people getting their 50 hours at all different times throughout the year. But we do have an annual awards night. We have a potluck, an educational presentation on some interesting topic or another. And then we award people based on their years of service and hours of service. And we're starting to do the person who secures the most hours out of the year. So we do recognize everyone.
Yeah. Important. My guests this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse are Aaron Frederick and Rebecca Kennedy, and they are representing a Penn State Extension program, which is a Master Watershed Steward program. You mentioned different organizations, watershed in different communities. Now, in the Lehigh Valley, does each rather large town have a watershed program or committee? Or?
Well, so it's not based on towns. It's based on watersheds. So most of the larger watersheds in the Lehigh Valley do have community-based watershed associations. Not all, but most do. The Watershed Coalition of the Lehigh Valley is an umbrella organization that brings together all of those community water resource organizations once a month, and we do outreach, education, and collaboration between the community water resource organizations. So where we're sitting right now is, I guess we're not sitting in the Monocacy. Is this the Saucon?
I don't think so. It might be directly to the Lehigh.
Directly to the Lehigh. Yeah. So Bethlehem has two community water resource organizations that cover areas of Bethlehem, the Saucon Creek Watershed Association and the Monocacy Creek Watershed Association. So that's an example where municipal boundaries and watershed boundaries are very different.
Yes. You're talking about natural boundaries, and the others, which are political boundaries, just don't make any sense. And if you look around the world at many countries that have been defined sometimes by other people. For instance, the Europeans defining boundaries for African countries doesn't make much sense. And what you're talking about is the natural watersheds. How many of those are there in the Lehigh Valley, roughly?
Well, obviously, it depends upon how you divide them. The definition of a watershed is an area of land that drains to a particular water body. So there's the Lehigh River watershed that covers an enormous area well north of the Poconos, and so that's for the Lehigh River. The Monocacy Creek watershed covers areas of about 10 municipalities that extend from the mouth of Monocacy on the other side of the river up basically north. So I would say that watersheds that are on a similar scale to the Monocacy, there's probably about 15 of those in the two-county Lehigh Valley region.
Mm-hmm. So about 15 of those. Interesting. Those of us who don't think about watersheds, this sort of opens up the whole idea that it's more prevalent than maybe we thought, having watersheds.
Well, every place is in a watershed. I mean, right. every piece of land is in a watershed. As Aaron just said while we were carrying out that little exercise, which watershed are we sitting in right now? So the question would be, if we went outside, took a break on the next 1 minute break, and we all went outside and we poured a gallon of water onto the sidewalk, what water body would that end up in? That's how you conceptually look at what watershed you're in, is if you pour water on the ground and it flows downhill, what water body does it wind up in? And Aaron was kind of thinking, probably right where we are, it would go straight into the Lehigh mm-hmm. River. So that's, but every area is in a watershed.
That's a good visual way to put it, to take water and pour it out and see where it goes. So it's time for us to take another break. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we're so happy that you have joined us this evening, the very beginning of the year, and a new program coming up that we're going to talk more about when we come back from our break. I'm John Pierce, your host, and my two guests this evening, Aaron Frederick and Rebecca Kennedy, will be back with me after just this very short break. Here on WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Watershed stewards, what do they do? What have they done over the past 4.5 years? And Aaron, why in the world are we putting that figure on it, 4.5 years?
Well, we first started the Master Watershed Steward Program here in the Lehigh Valley in 2013. We launched it because I have been working with Rebecca for so many years in water resource conservation, and I took a job with Penn State Extension as the Master Gardener Coordinator. I saw how organized the program was, how amazing the volunteers were, and there was a waiting list of volunteers. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was looking at all of our community watershed associations, and we've been struggling to retain and recruit new volunteers, to breathe new life into those programs. And I just thought, you know, why don't we have a version of the Master Gardener Program for our water resources? Like, why don't we have that? So we looked around at other states. A few other states had Master Watershed Steward programs. So we thought, you know, why don't we try it here? So I worked with Rebecca at the Watershed Coalition Lehigh Valley, the Northampton County Conservation District, and we pulled in a variety of other environmental organizations. And we did a test run with the program. We had a class of 20 people. It worked really well.
That seems like a very big class to me for the very first one. But you had this list of volunteers who wanted to do something. And so lots of them wound up in this very first class. And that was in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the 4.5 years. Now let's look ahead a little bit and see what are some opportunities that people who might be listening now might be interested in getting into your program. What would they be looking at in 4 or 5 years from now? Can we even guess at that?
Sure. I would say probably we will continue to build and expand upon the successful volunteer opportunities that folks have worked on over the last 4.5 years. And by and large, that's how we see things grow, is there's a successful program or idea or opportunity and somebody wants to just take it the next step. And so in the past number of years, we've worked on wetland restoration, stormwater basins, a lot of rain gardens. We have a green roof demonstration. There are countless educational programs, and people continue to come up with new ideas. We do water quality testing, stream testing. And so I think if there's a listener who's jumping up and down in their seats and has a great idea and that person joins our class, then in all likelihood, we can make that idea a reality. Right. A lot of our ideas come from our volunteers. And what Aaron briefly mentioned during the break is we piloted the program here just 4.5 years ago in 2013, and the program is now spread to 13 counties throughout the Commonwealth. So it's growing not just here in the Lehigh Valley, but across the Commonwealth, including as far as Allegheny County, mm-hmm. hopefully Erie County.
Way out west.
Yes. All right. Philadelphia.
Now, why are you so hopeful about Erie County? Are you from there?
I am not from there. I'm from New York City. I just, it has a symmetry to me that if we're going to be running this program on the far eastern part of the state, the southeast, that, you know, kind of conceptually, philosophically, you know, psychically, if we just anchor in Erie, then we'll cover the whole state.
Let's make
everybody
a spread over to the border with Ohio.
That's what I'm after. It's world domination through conservation.
Well, the Penn State Extension Master Watershed Steward Program is seeking recruits, as I understand it. And that's why this is very timely for us to be chatting with you on Lehigh Valley Discourse. So tell us, Aaron, how people would get in touch with the Penn State Extension Program for Watershed?
So if anyone is interested or they have questions, you can contact me at the Lehigh County Extension Office.
Ask for Aaron Frederick.
Yeah, you can just, you know, Google Lehigh County Penn State Extension. Our contact information will come up. We also have a couple resources on our webpage, extension.psu.edu/watershed-stewards. And there's tons of information there for each of our county programs. We also have a couple information sessions coming up throughout the Lehigh Valley.
Do you deal more with Lehigh Valley or with, if you live in Lehigh County, you do it there, and if you're Northampton County, you specialize?
It's a single program. Okay. It's a single program. Right. Because people tend to want to volunteer close to where they work, but not necessarily, I mean, to where they live. A lot of people it'll be more convenient for them to volunteer near where they work, or will they have friends and family? So right. And so we operate the program as a single entity.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense to me in more ways than just the watershed program or the gardener program. And again, the requirements of the program, are there age requirements for someone to join the classes?
Not really. The only stipulation is that you have to be over 18. Okay. If you are under 18, you need to attend with a parent. Okay. But otherwise, we are happy to have anyone, any age, that has an interest in the environment and wants
to
give back to the community.
And we have had several teenagers go through the program with their parents. And graduate. So,
did the teenagers have to drag their parents into that, or were the parents kind of encouraging them in the first place? Could you get a feel for that?
I think, as you started off the top of the hour with Erin talking about her background, I think this interest in conservation is something that runs in families. And so it can be one of those things that connect parents and teenage children, things that they can do together.
Oh, that's excellent. Yes.
And everybody really, you know, families really like those opportunities where you can be doing something with your kid where both of you are learning. I think the, you know, younger folks, even the college students who have gone through our program, kind of get a kick out of 40, 50, and 60-year-olds sitting there taking tests as well. So it's a cross-generational program where everybody's, you know, kind of on a level playing field. And I think that's really positive. Are you going to go over our information sessions?
I can. We have one information session on January 10th at 6:30 at the Lehigh County Agricultural Center. Another on Thursday, January 18th at 6:30 at the Northampton Extension Office in Nazareth, and a final one on Wednesday, January 24th at 6:30 at Illix Mill in Bethlehem.
Okay, do you have exact addresses for people who might not know where these are located?
Yeah, and it's all online.
All right, so again, give us you gave us a really long address there for going to the program online. The web page. Could you give that again?
If you Google Lehigh Valley Master Watershed Steward Program, it will all come up.
All right. Say that again. Lehigh
Valley Master Watershed Steward Program.
Okay.
This information will come up. Or if you can just remember Penn State Cooperative Extension in either county, Northampton and Lehigh, if somebody calls up and doesn't remember anything from this radio show, other than that they heard about a volunteer program that has to do with water, and they call up and they say, hey, I heard on the radio about a volunteer program that has to do with water, the fine folks who answer the phone will know just where to find Aaron. So no complicated addresses needed.
Good. So the requirements of the program, the age, have to be 18 or older or be accompanied by an adult. And so anyone can apply. Does it cost money to apply for this program?
We do have a one-time materials fee of $125, but we certainly don't want to exclude anyone that might not have the financial means. So we do offer scholarships as well.
Excellent. So that's what you have to have as far as money is concerned. And what else do we want to say about this watershed program? We've covered it, haven't we?
We have. It's a really fun and engaging learning program. Primarily what we are hearing back from the folks who have gone through the program here in the Lehigh Valley. So we trained four classes, so roughly 80 people. And then all of the other people who have gone through the expansion programs as it spread throughout the state is how much fun it is. People find it really energizing and engaging when they can really learn about something that they've always had an interest in a way that feels approachable to them. So a couple of things that we haven't mentioned about the program in the last most of an hour are we bring in local experts to talk about the various topics that we present on. So I'm just going to kind of go through a partial list. Aaron, jump in. So we do an introduction to what is a watershed and the laws surrounding water resource conservation. We do a program on wetlands, on geology, on groundwater, on the types of green infrastructure like green roofs and rain gardens that help to deal with pollution. What are a couple other classes?
We talk about flooding and native and invasive plants, climate change, phenology. We do an environmental education day. We go out
phenology?
In the field.
Phenology is the sequence in the spring and fall of season change and the indicators. So when the first goldfinch shows up in relationship to when people see their first crocus, when various things bloom and animals come into or go out of hibernation. And that's a really important baseline for looking at the impacts of climate change, because our environmental ecosystems were coordinated. And as climate changes, different things are now happening in different order. And so an obvious example would be if a migratory bird showed up before anything bloomed, and there'd be no food source. So those are the types of things that we look at. But we bring in local experts. So we have kind of culled through all of our colleagues who we know and brought out all of the most kind of energizing, vibrant speakers to communicate this to our students. And we get a lot of feedback on the excellence of our speakers. We're not, this isn't kind of the classroom type setting that you're thinking about from high school where somebody stands up there and drones on. We have worked with our program to have really interesting, engaging local professionals. And that's something that people also enjoy. These are people they like meeting. Some professors at Lehigh, we bring in professor from, you know, outside the Valley. We have folks from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, folks from the various agencies, Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection.
Well, again, we circle back to your word fun, which you like to use, and it sounds like it too. Now, here's a sort of a final quiz for Aaron, and that is if you could identify what MWS stands for.
Master Watershed Steward.
Oh, she is so good.
I'm really good at the acronyms.
This is a program at Penn State Extension with volunteer opportunities similar to the Master Gardener program. So these are two separate programs. Trainees learn many aspects of watershed ecology, soil and geology, water quality, groundwater, entomology. What in the world is entomology?
Insect biology.
Yes, it is. Stormwater management, wastewater treatment, flora and fauna. Aaron, do you know the difference between flora and fauna?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm just playing with you. Associated with watersheds. Upon completion of the program, trainees give their time to projects such as stream cleanups, designing and assisting in rain garden construction. Wow, that sounds complicated. Rain garden construction. It's not that complicated?
It's fun.
It's fun.
Take my word for it.
That's what I thought she was going to say. Stream monitoring. How do I pronounce this? Riparian buffer installations.
Riparian is just a fancy word that means streamside. It could also mean riverside.
Okay. And providing information to the public at educational events. So that's what you're getting into if you want to avail yourself of this volunteer opportunity with a watershed program at Penn State Extension. And again, the month of January is really important for the first meetings that you're offering to the public. Could you give those again? January 10th is the first one.
Yeah, January 10th in Allentown at the Lehigh County Agricultural Center. Thursday, January 18th at the Northampton County Extension Office in Nazareth at the Graysdale Complex. And Wednesday, January 24th at Illich's Mill in Bethlehem.
And will you be there personally, Aaron?
Yes.
All right. You'll be running the meetings, in effect?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Will there be a speaker from the outside at these, or do you do the whole program yourself?
Generally, I give an overview of Extension and the Master Watershed Steward Program, and then we invite some of our existing Master Watershed Stewards to come talk about their experience in the program, what projects they've got involved in, what they enjoy about the program. And then for anyone that's still interested, we do have a pre-program assessment just to get a sense of our training needs. And then our next step is we do some interviews just to get to know people a little bit more, make sure they understand the program, and then we start classes in March.
And you're all set to roll. You mentioned before that you have, when you were starting this program, you looked at other states to figure out, well, what are they doing and what could we do in the area of watershed? You already had the Master Gardener program going, and then the watershed idea came to you after that. Do you still get together with folks from other states? Are there national conferences of some sort?
There are not, but I would like to note that somehow or another in the last 4.5 years, for basically 5 years ago, we were researching these programs in other states. Somehow or another, Aaron Frederick has now become the national go-to person for this program. And so now people are calling her from across the country to build upon the successes of this program in
Pennsylvania. Well, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So we're going to add that to her.
Her resume.
That list of titles.
Of titles.
National expert.
Yeah, national coordinator.
Yes, Aaron Frederick is the statewide Master Watershed Steward Coordinator. See, I'm not good enough. I have to read it. And she's the interim area Master Gardener Coordinator for Lehigh, Northampton, Bucks, Montgomery, Chester, Delaware, and Philadelphia counties. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The word counties is not here. So you have visited all these places and seen much of what's in all of these different counties.
Somewhat, yeah.
Right. And so she is on the staff at Penn State Extension. And we said before that Penn State Extension is an outreach from the university to the communities to help educate us about whatever. Well, I guess it's about our natural environment. Would that be a big umbrella?
Well, but Penn State Extension also has a lot of programs that relate to things like food safety and family and consumer science. So I think probably the best way to think about it is the purpose for which the land-grant colleges were set up originally, which has to do with farming, homesteading. Homesteading okay. is probably safe. So things that grow out of that. There's programs. Penn State also has programs on drinking water quality, those mm-hmm. types of things.
Very good. And Rebecca Kennedy is a volunteer with the Penn State Extension Watershed Program. She is project specialist for Northeastern Pennsylvania for PennVest. Well, our time is up. That's what happens when you have fun. It passes quickly. And I want to thank you both for coming to our studios here in Eclectic South Bethlehem. And we are, according to Aaron, in the Lehigh River watershed. Is that right?
You got it.
Hey, I'm learning. Aaron Frederick and Rebecca Kennedy, thanks so much for being our guests this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
This is WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond. We're so happy that you tuned in, dear listeners. I'm John Pierce. Our engineer this evening, Neil Heaver, who is operations director here at WDIY. Until we meet again, remember to be gentle with your neighbor.